You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. While you're at it opens this Saturday or any Saturday, you're likely to come across buyers who are looking at properties purely as investments. With Airbnb getting so much press over the last few years, your investors might be wondering or even asking you about whether or not they can make a dollar on these short-term letting platforms. But while short-term letting platforms provide a great return on investment for some properties, it's not the case with all of them. This episode, my guest is Mike Johnson, a sales director for Made Comfy, a property management and hospitality group specialising in short-term rentals with a specific purpose of helping property investors improve rental yields and cash flow while answering that question with data as to whether a particular property is suited to short-term letting or not. In this episode, Mike breaks down how Made Comfy is working with agents, what types of properties are best occupied by long-term tenants, and where this trend towards short-term letting might be headed in the future. Welcome to the podcast, Mike Johnson.
Hi.
So we're here today to talk about the fascinating topic of Airbnb, and you're from a company called Made Comfy. So tell us a little bit about what Made Comfy do, just to kick it off.
Sure. So Made Comfy's been around for just over 3 years. We'll manage properties on the short-term rental market. So what does that mean? We work with investment properties, both apartments and houses. We'll take those properties and we can manage it end-to-end. So we can do everything that you need and manage for you to be able to offer that to guests on a short-term platform. So we'll work across multiple platforms, Airbnb being the highest volume and most popular, but also Booking.com, TripAdvisor, Stays and others. And we will furnish it. We'll get it ready for guests. We'll take professional photography of it. We will then build that on the platforms I mentioned. We'll write the copy and we'll manage that whole process. Any questions from the guests in terms of check-ins, any issues during the actual stay, and then once they've left, get that property ready for the next guest. So clean, get new linen, do any issues or maintenance, and then get it back on the platform.
So you kind of like outsource housekeeping in a hotel so that nobody's stuck with doing that changeover routine and that everything's nice and fresh for the guests when they come back in.
Absolutely. And look, we've really seen over the last probably 1 or 2 years, it's much more like a hotel experience. And we've seen guest expectations really rise over that time. So actually, if you book somewhere on Airbnb or Booking.com or similar, you're expecting that hotel experience. But the key difference being that all our rooms are across the city. So yeah, we're across Sydney and we've been open in Melbourne since November. So we've got lots of properties there and we've just opened in the last month up in Brisbane as well.
So normally real estate agents will deal a lot in long-term rentals, but now investors are starting to come in and say, well, I think I can make a little bit more money by short-term letting on Airbnb and even places like Booking.com. And you're actually working with real estate agents right now to help them through that and actually partnering so that they can provide that sort of service to their owners. So tell us a little bit about how you're working with agents at the moment.
So probably at first, both real estate agents and also us thought, are we competitors? But very quickly, we realized that actually we specialize in short-term rentals and all real estate agents really don't and don't want to try and take on that service. The service I've just described is a very specific service. It's a high growth area, but it's still a very small percentage of the whole real estate market. So therefore, what real estate agents are finding is owners are asking them the question, which is, okay, my long-term tenancy is up. Sometimes someone down the pub's told them or someone upstairs maybe does it and they think, oh, I wonder if I could make money and would it be a good return to put it on the short-term rental market? So that's when we partner with them and they can then say to the owner, well, actually, we partner with Made Comfy, go and speak to them. And that starts the process. And the key part of that process for us of Made Comfy is look at the data. It's really important to see over the past maybe year or 2 years, how a short-term rental performed in your suburb and specifically that road, that type of property. And we can supply that to the owner and to the real estate agent to see, for example, a two-bed apartment in Waterloo. How has that done over the past 12 months? And we put a forecast together saying, how could it do? And there's a couple of other factors that's involved there. So we furnish, that's one of the reasons we do. How is it furnished? And also, how is the property? So we'd inspect it. And then altogether, that provides enough data information for the owner to make a decision. Clearly, there's some great areas for short-term rental. And when that all comes together, they can then work with us. I'm still through the real estate agent, and the real estate agent keeps control of a lot of that process and still contracts with them. But we would handle all the short-term rental in terms of the services and that side of it.
So that's taking a good big headache out of it. So firstly, knowing whether the property is suitable for the short-term rental market and being able to predict a financial return on that, and then also taking care of all the marketing and the back end of it. That seems like a pretty sweet deal to me.
Yeah, and I think any new service and also new market is, of course, very early on. There are properties and there are stories of people making thousands and thousands of dollars very quickly, and this is the answer to everything. Well, it's not the answer to everything. When you've got a suitable property in the right area and it's managed correctly, set up correctly, put on the right platforms, then you can get better returns, as I said, if all those things line up. And that's one of the reasons that owners choose to do it. So there's lots of ifs in there, and that's important to assess all those things. It's not the magic wand, and it won't take a property. For example, if you're struggling to get a property to rent for a long term and finding a long term tenant, you've got to look into the reasons behind that, and you've got to solve those reasons first. It's likely that you're going to have a similar problem with getting clients and tenants on a short term rental as well. So it's important to not look at it as the magic bullet, but it is key to say short-term rental is a good option in some suburbs and some areas for the right types of properties.
Do you work with real estate salespeople as well who legitimately might have a listing which they think is going to be good for an investor who is looking at short-term renting?
Yes, that's a key part of what we do. The secret sauce is about the data and how we manage. Now, there's two parts to that. Firstly, a little bit about our service, which is you have to dynamically price. We use our own database. We've actually got an in-house analyst that we employ, as well as using an algorithm. So a combination of a person and the data. And then we use that to price our properties moving forward. And that's a key part of how to make sure that you get the best returns, both in the high season getting the highest returns, but also making sure you get occupancy during the lower periods. Now, the other part to that is we use that data to be able to forecast and say, is it a good fit? And also supply that to owners or potential owners. And so if a property and a good investment property is up for sale, then we do work with agents to say, can you give me an idea or forecast what this property would do? So two parts to that. Firstly, when you're looking for investment property, often people are no longer looking in Sydney or Melbourne, mainly because they put that into their investor spreadsheet and it doesn't make sense, right, in terms of what their requirements are, how they finance it, et cetera. So they could look again in areas where if they can get a higher yield, that makes sense for them in terms of covering the home loan payments as well as the kind of leverage and risk that they're trying to put into their portfolio. So yeah, we can supply data for that for both potential investors as well as current owners. And if you're looking to buy a property, ask the agent and we can work in partnership and supply some of that data, which gives them the full picture to assess A, whether they'd like to buy the property as well as whether it will work for short-term rental.
I think that's a really important point, that it's not a linear equation and that it's based on supply and demand. It could even be its proximity to, say, a sporting ground or something like that. And so that's where the standard rental return data from CoreLogic and Pricefinder and the usual places is not enough.
Absolutely. The pricing changes daily. So a common first mistake that people make is they'll go onto Airbnb or similar and look at the kind of list price, if you like, which, by the way, can be set by the operator owner and doesn't necessarily correspond to either what tomorrow's price is or what price is in December, which is likely to be very different. So then it's like, well, what is the real nightly price and how do I draw that graph for the year? And that's what we can supply because it's a bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. But we've got data from properties we currently manage. So we've got case studies and we can supply those, as well as a whole database full from all of the platforms that we've pulled together over the 2 years. So those two together means you can get a more accurate forecast, have a look at how it's going to do, and then assess like if that's something you want to do.
Interesting. So what type of property, in your experience, does really lend itself to short-term letting?
Sure. So I'll talk about the most popular properties in the most popular suburbs and then the trend. So I'd say obviously, but it's key that the CBD and adjacent suburbs have got very high demand. And we see 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. And I'll explain why that is. That covers guest bookings from really 1 to 4 people, right? So if you've got a 2-bed apartment, you can take up to 4 people roughly. So actually, that's the highest volume of bookings. The most common booking is somewhere between 2 and 3 people on all the platforms. So it's the highest volume. So you've got the best chance of doing well. And if you're looking in suburbs where CBD or adjacent suburbs, some of the highest performing, so Darlinghurst, Pyrmont, if you think about where they are and their connection to the city and also what's around them, it makes a lot of sense. The trend is we're seeing the visitors' numbers, more and more of those visitors are coming to visit friends and family, as well as being tourists to see the city. And we've seen that on the Bureau of Statistics have actually brought that up recently. So one of the things people are doing is looking for places to stay in areas that are away from the CBD. And there's 2 things about that. First of all, they're in new areas, and so potential growth suburbs for short-term rental. And the second thing, often those suburbs don't have hotels or traditional ways to stay. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to visit a family that live in a suburb further out, you want to stay quite close and visit your family, then you're going to look at Airbnb and similar. So we've seen a high growth of that. The other part of the growth is there's more interstate visitors than ever before. Sydney last year got 12 million interstate visitors, as well as international visitors went from 6 to 9 million for the whole of Australia. And that graph is steadily going upwards. It's a straight line. So we're seeing more and more demand, and that's what's driving that growth.
I imagine that there must be a greater demand in the business community as well. As I know, we're planning a trip to America to go to the National Association of Realtors Conference next month. And I know we always look for a place that's actually got a table that we can set our laptops up on and Wi-Fi and all those sorts of things. So that was a specific reason for looking for an apartment on Airbnb.
Yeah, and that's a requirement that we work hard on some of those pieces. So the most known latest update on that is Airbnb Plus. So they've got a platform that's dedicated to properties that they check. And there's some of those requirements. So is it business ready? Does it have a table? Of course, all properties now have Wi-Fi. I think Wi-Fi is more important than running water nowadays. Yeah. But other things. So yeah, does it have a table, a desk area if you want to work? Does it have certain other things which aren't necessarily true of all properties? So yeah, we see that. And being business ready, Booking.com has similar things. But we work hard on making sure our listings are updated. And of course, the more that your property fits that and also the platform, then it's open to more of the guests who are looking. So that's how it operates.
Interesting. So we were talking earlier before we turned the recorder on about how much more discerning guests are. And I can only agree with you there, because as I was trawling through Airbnb and seeing apartments with someone's clothes hanging in them and stuff like that, it did feel a bit icky about going to stay there. So what sort of attention to detail do you need to have to keep both the investor and the guests happy?
There's 3 main factors for a short-term rental property to perform really well. The first, which is very similar to long-term and other property, is location, location, location. And it's slightly different in that it's more micro. It's more about transport links. It's about the property and how it presents. The second thing, and I describe this, is how to think like a guest. So you've probably just described it, how you go on and book. Is I do the same as everyone, is I will go probably put some dates in. I might put a price range and I'll put a general area. And the next thing I do is I'll scroll through the pictures. So looking for a picture that draws you in, obviously you've got to have a wow picture, a picture that really draws you in and so you click on more. But also you've got to have pictures that are true to the property, so that further down the line, actually, it does live up to what's there. So if you have great pictures, the next thing people tend to do is start reading the information or the copy. I think most people will agree that they get probably halfway through the second line and remember that that's written by the owner or the company in our case, and then they'll go straight to reviews. So really looking at pictures and reviews. Those are 2 parts that we really focus on in terms of how do we make sure properties are set up and not just look great in the pictures, but actually are great, so that then people have a great stay and then they leave a great review. So your question from an investor point of view is look at location. So you can ask us and see what are the best suburbs, what that looks like. Think like a guest. So how is it going to be a little bit different? How is it going to be furnished? Maybe how is it even going to be renovated and styled? And that's key. And then the last thing and the 3rd thing is the data. So that's, I think, really important that we can supply that data, see how properties, you're not going to outperform the best property in the suburb. So if you look at the property and the ranges of what's going on in that street in that suburb, you've got a good idea where you can be, then create a great experience and make it look great. You can be in the higher region. But it's similar to other types of property in that way as well, is outperforming the market is not possible. So first have a look at the data, and then you get an idea of how it can perform and the best property to choose, or how to set your property up, like the best way for it to achieve high returns.
So on Airbnb, you can have one of two types of listings. You could be renting out a room, or you could be renting out a whole apartment. Do you guys deal in the single rooms or just the whole apartment?
We just focus on entire apartments. We touched on the reason earlier, the guest expectations are really high. As a company, we're looking to deliver great experiences, really exceptional experiences. So that becomes very difficult if you have shared space or you have shared rooms. I think it's always going to be a big part of what Airbnb do and our platforms and properties where you can rent out your spare room. That's great. And people continue to do that. But interestingly, that's not something that's new to Airbnb. It hasn't been around for 100 years and will continue. It's just the technology's enabled it. I know my parents way back in the UK used to come to Australia. They had some family here and they used to get a room off people that they didn't know down the road. And that thing happened 60 or 50 years ago. So that's not new. It's just it's tech enabled, yeah. Right? So you do it on a platform. So that piece is a good piece, and it's a bit of extra income for you in your property. But for us, no, we just focus on entire properties because we've got to be able to deliver them ready for guests as they are, rather than someone else coming in and out.
So let's talk about legislation. Real estate legislation is different across the country. And I know in New York, Airbnb is still supposed to be not allowed by the city of New York, and yet there's millions of properties on Airbnb. So tell me about what's happening in New South Wales and Queensland and some of the other states in regard to legislation.
So recently, 3 months ago, New South Wales came out with the new legislation, which is currently being voted in, being deployed, and we expect it to deploy the middle of next year. We welcome it. The new legislation in New South Wales has three parts. The first part is for investment property is a cap on the number of booked nights. So it's 180 booked nights. Now, on a normal occupancy, when you work that out, it actually equates to around 230 days because you never have full occupancy in short-term rental. You always have gaps. Interestingly, we were already working on, as a company, the opportunity to do medium-term stays. And that's something that's brought that forward for us. And we've looked at it and said, we often get requests from guests who are staying in our properties through the platform to say, I'd love to come back and stay for 2 months, for example, or 3 months. And that's something that we've not really been able to cater for. That's something we're going to be able to do. And something I think is going to answer that question, in that if you're talking about 230 nights, what do you do for the other 3 to 4 months a year that you're not allowed to operate short term? Now, there's no detail in the legislation yet. It's very high level. So what is and isn't short term? What does not doing short term mean? Does that mean either a tenancy agreement or a certain length of time or both or neither? We'll find out and we'll work within that. Now, the two other parts of talking about legislation is everyone's most exciting part of their day. It's probably the more boring parts, but important. And I'll just touch on them briefly because there's a lot of detail. One is a code of conduct, which we welcome. I think that any new industry and marketplace needs legislation. It needs a code of conduct. It needs to be structured well. So anyone who has a bad experience, either from a guest point of view or from an owner point of view or from an operator point of view like us, has somewhere to go. There's a process you can work through. Of course, there are some bad actors, both in terms of guests and also in terms of owners and operators that need to be held accountable. So that process will answer that. They're yet to go into full detail, but we welcome it because of the way that we operate our properties in a professional way. Mm-hmm. And the last one is strata and body corporate. So the way that this will roll out is strata's will be able to take the decision as long as they get 75% or more of their owners to vote that they won't allow it in that building. That's better than currently. It's a bit of a grey area. We've had strata's and body corporates bringing in bylaws to say either restrict it or whether it's allowed or not. And that's been this big challenge head to head with, is that allowed? And Fair Trading said no. And then normally it's referenced as the council laws. This will get rid of that, hopefully, which is clear about what is and isn't allowed. And if stratas get together and if owners agree over 75%, it'll be restricted. If they don't, it won't. So we'll know where we stand, but also there'll be a code of conduct and a process to go through, which will be a good thing. So that's very specific about New South Wales. So you mentioned New York, London, other areas have been much stricter. And I think this is an important balance that the government's taken, which is the demand for places to stay is what drives short-term rental. The number of visitors to Australia has really grown from kind of 6 to 9 million across the last 6 years. And that's a straight line graph that keeps going up every year. And the number of interstate visitors we get in Sydney and Melbourne has gone up hugely as well. So the demand is going to keep going. Now, the new hotel room numbers have started to climb, but they normally takes kind of 4 to 6 years for them to build new hotels. And actually, by the time they come online, like it's already, the demand is over that. So they recognize that from a tourist point of view, a lot of people who come and stay in Sydney bring money to local businesses and bring money to the economy, as well as stay in an Airbnb. We'll see how it rolls out and exactly the devil will be in the details next year. But that gives you a good insight into how New South Wales looks. Both for Victoria and Queensland, there are different sets of laws and rules there. They don't have a cap per se, but you do have to make sure that you're doing it in the correct way. For Queensland, as an example, you do have to make sure if you're operating more than one property, you can get a license and make sure you operate that way. But yeah, there's no cap. And those are continuing to evolve as well.
That must mean that really you need to be sure of your forward cash projections before jumping in.
Yeah, I think you should be anyway. Absolutely. I think you should always look at what's the fluctuations month to month. And in short-term rental, you are going to get higher yields and returns. We just talked about moving into the summer months. But you need to make sure that you're also aware that through the lower months, it's going to be lower. And overall, when we do a forecast, we look at 12 months to see how does that measure up against long-term. You've got to be aware that your cash flow will go up and down like month to month.
So where do you see this all headed in the future?
So this is a piece I'm quite passionate about. One of the reasons I work for a short-term rental management company, we're growing very quickly, but also changing quickly. More and more people want this. But where I see going after that, I mentioned it in passing, which was medium-term stays, which actually we see more and more people requesting either that they're working over from Melbourne, they're staying here, they want a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, or a three-month stay, relocating a family, they want to stay somewhere while they're moving into a place, they're between places. What has started as short-term rental, I don't really see any reasons why, with the correct legislation in place and all that, the flexibility of what can be medium-term and disrupting that marketplace, ultimately that's moving into property and property as a service, I think, is where we're heading. Now, it's a slow-moving change. There's some big stakes in the ground that stop general shared ownerships, like you've got to get a home loan, everyone wants to own their own property, similar. But that's where we're ultimately heading, which is more flexibility for guests, more flexibility ultimately for owners in terms of using their own property and not, and more flexibility of people who are working and traveling. But I think the future is more flexibility and more interesting experiences for guests that book great properties, get to use properties that they wouldn't have previously, and ultimately then get more freedom of choice.
So if anyone wants to know more about Made Comfy, how do they find you?
Come and see us on our website, madecomfy.com.au. One of our team will chat to you or give us a call. And I mentioned a couple of the ways that we can help, which is if you're a real estate agent, you're interested in partnering with us, give us a call. And there are absolutely situations out there where we partner with real estate agents and owners kind of set for one reason or another, really want to do short-term with this one. We'll supply the data, we'll look at it and say, look, you get a really good long-term rate. It's important to highlight that and say, there's investment involved in short-term. You've got to make sure you do it right. And you should look at the data and make a great choice, which is, great, I've got a good long-term tenancy rate. And that means I can lock that in for a year. Great, go and do that. So I think it's about supplying the data.
Mike Johnson, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.